It has been such a fun week here on First Take, but guess what? It's not over. Here's what's on the way in our second hour today. Is Cooper Kupp the best wide receiver in the league? You can only choose one, and our guys respond to that in just a bit. Plus, which of the NBA's brightest stars would you take for the next decade? 22-year-old Ja Morant or 27-year-old Giannis? And with the Natty right around the corner, Paul Feinbaum joining the show to break down all things Georgia-Alabama. Let's go! But before we get to all that, we got to talk about that bad man, Aaron Rodgers, who the Packers now own the top seed in the NFC. So Green Bay is now in a very good situation. Aaron Rodgers is as well. He has put together an MVP-worthy campaign. And get this, it can't get any easier. The Packers finishing out the season playing the Lions. So life is good. But even so, Rodgers has said he doesn't know what his future holds. Everything is fluid. And that is the exact same mindset he headed into this season with in the offseason. Listen.
The grass is greener where you water it. I really believe that. And, you know, that's an adage to dissuade people from going out and taking risks and chances. You know, I think that where you spend your time and energy and what you choose to water will always be the greenest part of your life. And I decided, you know, when I came back that I was going to be all in with the team and all in to see things move forward to a better place. And that's what the conversations were about. You know, during the off season was about being a part of those conversations that impact my ability to do my job. And, you know, from one of the first days, Brian and I sat down and got on the same page, and it's been a really nice fall and winter. I appreciate, you know, his approach, how it's been, and it's been very meaningful to me. So I'm thankful for that relationship, where it's at this point. And that's made my life that much more enjoyable.
All right, well, we like that for him for sure. Now, two-time Super Bowl champ Rob Ninkovich is here along with Neek and RC. Now, gentlemen, let's not forget Rodgers. He has tossed around the idea of retirement, but provided that doesn't happen, Nink, what do you think the better situation is for Rodgers, for him to stay in Green Bay or join another team?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Aaron Rodgers saying that... Oh, Neek or Nink?
That
always confuses me.
You got it, Rob.
No, I was trying to say that Aaron Rodgers is basically field turf. His grass is always going to be green. He don't have to water it. Wherever he goes, it's green. So yeah. Some other places, it might be, yeah, the grass isn't always greener. But Aaron Rodgers has that power. He can go wherever he wants. He can decide where he wants to go. He can stay where he's at. But he's Aaron Rodgers. So he's having another MVP season. He doesn't have to worry about the whole grass greener stuff, all the things that come with greener grass or not the grass always greener, whatever it may be. The guy is Aaron Rodgers. He's loaded. He's made $250, $300, $400 million. I don't know. It don't matter. He's rich.
He's very rich.
He's doing fine. I think, though, he's a risk-averse football player. Like, he doesn't turn the ball over because he doesn't put the ball in dangerous situations.
Yeah.
Which would suggest that he probably would make decisions off the field similar to that. Like, he would stay in Green Bay, maybe. But it doesn't seem like he is, like, imbued with that same philosophy in his life outside of football. So I think it's not about winning championships necessarily. Obviously, he wants to win as much as possible. But to your point, Rob, that if he goes anywhere, they automatically become a championship contender. And he saw what Tom Brady was able to do, and I think that he could go somewhere else, pick his place, and be ready to win a championship elsewhere. So it seems to me that based on the way that he's been behaving for the last couple years, I guess, that he wants to figure out what it's like elsewhere. He wants a different experience, and nothing's wrong with that. The only problem that I had with the way that he was going about this was where he was trying to point the fingers at everyone else and kind of say, like, they haven't given me what I needed. They haven't listened to me, when at the same time they've had one of the best rosters in football. So really all he wanted was a little bit of an elevated position. He just wanted to be treated a little less like a player and a little bit more like management. He wanted that level of respect. It seems like they're giving it to him. If that's all he wanted, then he should stay. But I think he wants more. He wants to go somewhere else and feel what it's like to wear another jersey and win in another city. So I think he absolutely should win one this year and then move on.
Listen, you know, if we're going to talk about respect, someone like Sidney Poitier was someone who demanded respect. Yeah. And God rest his soul, he's passed at 94. And you listen to Dom talk a little bit about somebody that wanted a new experience. Catherine wanted a new experience on Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, right? And so she decides, she was a free-thinking young white woman in that time. And so she brought John Prentice home. And he was played by Sidney Poitier. But then she realized there are some adversities when you want new experiences. There's going to be some people who don't necessarily think that that's the things that you should try. And that's how I feel about Aaron Rodgers. I don't think that Aaron Rodgers needs to go anywhere else. I think that Aaron Rodgers, he made it a point to say, you know what, guys? I think I should be treated this way. I believe I should have more say-so in decision-making. I believe that I should have more say-so on what the future of my career is. And the Green Bay Packers acquiesced to that. The Green Bay Packers changed who they are. We got to remember, this is a team without an owner, right? And so they don't have an owner that can come in and fix everything. They were kind of run a different way, but this team changed the way they did business because of the way Aaron Rodgers played. Because they realized that Jordan Love might not be ready to take over for Aaron Rodgers as he was for Brett Favre. And listen, just like Virgil Tibbs had to prove on the heat of the night back in the day that he was innocent, right? Bill Gillespie arrested him, and he had to prove that he had to prove who he was, and then say, you know what? I ain't the problem. This dude's the problem. That's what Aaron Rodgers said. I ain't the problem. I ain't never been the problem.
As long as he's in Green Bay, he is not going to have to worry about heat at night. But he might shrivel like a raisin in the sun if he goes elsewhere and they cannot protect him the way that they'll protect him in Green Bay. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but I just had to outdo you on 48 references. That's all.
All right, Rob.
Guys. Sorry, buddy.
All right, hey, Nick. What do you do with these two, baby? Yeah. Thank you for coming in.
I love listening to him because heat of the night. I don't even remember. What's heat of the night? I don't remember that.
It's a freaking classic.
Heat of the night.
He's a freaking classic,
bro. Way before your time.
When you brought Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, I like that, but I was also thinking the Defiant Ones, which he is now linked, handcuffed to a general manager named Brian Gutekunst. And at the beginning of that movie, just like at the beginning of this season, they couldn't wait to get away from each other. They wanted to separate and go in different directions. But by the end, they figured out a way to work together. That is the perfect analogy. R.I.P. Sidney Poitier. But, I mean, 94, a black man, that man beat the odds.
Okay, well, whatever. He's here for the rest of the season. We know that much. And in Week 18, they have a cakewalk. It's against the Lions. Really just a throwaway game because the Packers have already clinched the conference. But Matt LaFleur says all healthy starters are going to play. So how much, Nink, do you think that Rodgers should play in this game?
I think he should play. I mean, it's all about going out there, keeping your timing, keeping everything kind of flowing in the right direction. You hit the playoffs. They're already going to have a week off. They're going to have a week to rest, get back into practice, go out there and go play in these playoff games. So I'm not a huge fan of resting everybody. There'll be 2 weeks off then. And, I mean, Aaron Rodgers really doesn't. I don't understand it. If he has a quarter and he's rusty, he'll get back into the swing of things. But at the end of the day, football players want to play football. I'm sure he wants to go out there. And he's smart. He can take care of himself, throw the ball quick, get it out of his hands. They're protecting quarterbacks anyway. I'm not really worried about him.
Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I think football players want to be football players, but not everybody gets what they want. Yeah, because there are some football players on the other side who also want to be football players, who want to hit your quarterback. And I get what everyone, the point people are making about trying to stay warm, given the fact that they started the season was Aaron's worst game of the year. So that was a long layoff, obviously, and then he did not play well in it. That's a reasonable thing to be concerned about, but I'd be more concerned about injury or hurting that toe that we all got to know better than I think any of us wanted to see. But I do think that safety is more important. Like, he's not a young kid. He knows how to play. Him and Adams, they play with one brain. I'm not sure that a couple weeks off is going to hurt him. I understand the point, but to me, it's more important to get them this rest, to keep them healthy, and to try to get them ready for the playoff run that they're going to hopefully go on.
You know what? I think it's not about what we think, right? How much we think Aaron Rodgers should play. It's basically going to come down to how much Aaron Rodgers thinks he needs to play. And when we talk about the way that he's now moved in the organization and he has a little say-so over the roster or a little say-so over his career, he has total say-so on his body. He has total say-so on what he needs to be ready to play in the divisional round of the playoffs. And if he thinks that he needs a couple of series to make sure that he can stay hot, to make sure that the chemistry and kind of the telepathy that he plays with the Devontae Adams is still sharp, that Alan Lazard is still in fine tune with Aaron Rodgers, then I think you let him play a little bit, but he has to protect himself. And as a coach, you have to protect him as well. There is no way in this world, there is no world or no multi-universe that makes sense that Aaron Rodgers finishes this game quarterbacking the Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love actually needs the reps anyway. This doesn't change their playoff seeding. Get him a couple of reps, let him feel it out for a little bit, maybe a quarter, then get Aaron Rodgers out, put a hoodie on him, right? Put a hat on him and allow him to watch from the sideline.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good strategy. Okay, guys, that wraps up this conversation. Nink, thanks for joining us. Thanks for bringing a little bit of calmness to the, you know, two guys on the other side.
Appreciate you, Nico.
All right, guys. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And in the NBA, Ja Morant and the Grizzlies stay winning. Memphis has now won 7 straight after beating the Pistons last night. Their latest surge has them 4th in the West and only 5 games back from the first-place Suns. Now, Ja is having a career year as well, averaging 25-6-5 on the season. But who would you rather have, the 22-year-old Morant or the 27-year-old Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is putting together another MVP-caliber season himself? That is the question of the hour. And with that, we welcome back Kendrick Perkins and Monica McNutt.
This is horrible. Ooh,
yeah, this is a tough one. I know both of you are already shaking your heads. So, Monica, I'm going to put the pressure on you to choose first. Take your pick. Which young star would you rather have?
Oh, my gosh, Charlie. You know, we get these questions from our terrific producers, and every now and again, you're like, come on, man. Are you kidding me?
There's a reason why we're asking you to.
Listen, oh, my God. After much debate, I landed by the thinnest of margins on Ja Morant, and I am pointing to one Chris Paul at the age of 36 and what he's currently doing for the Phoenix Suns, a team with the best record in the league right now. And I think, although I really struggled in terms of Ja's physique, I think what Ja has uniquely under wraps at this point in his career that's very, very impressive is understanding the pace of the game. He absolutely can give you a Russell Westbrook type of explosion moment when he gets to the paint. But I, again, think back, Perk, to that win versus the Warriors to get in the play-in last year. And on paper, you may have not have been impressed by his stats, but if you watch that game, the way that he held onto the ball, dictated the pace, facilitated, took shots in spots that were valuable, and even the way he shot the three ball, which was not something that he did prolifically last year, he understands the pace and the speed of the game. And we know change of speed, change of direction are like very fundamental things in the game of basketball. And so at his age, at the point guard spot, with so many young talents around him, to have a grasp on that is so impressive. And I think he will be able to change his game as his body and athleticism may change down the road.
Guess what? I ain't mad at you.
It's tough.
I ain't mad at you.
It's
tough. You know how I feel about Ja. But look, I'm gonna say this. I'm not taking nobody over Giannis Antetokounmpo. Okay, I just can't.
Okay.
And for the simple fact that I understand that he's 27, but we have at least 8 more years of Giannis doing what he is doing right now at this high level. When you look at his physical build, right? It reminds me of LeBron James and Karl Malone. Like, mm-hmm. they have that body frame, and they have that type of mentality, and they have that type of physical presence that they could do this for an extended period of time. And so, looking at Giannis only being 27 years old, he still has 7 years max, in my opinion, in his prime, but we don't know what prime is no more. Like, LeBron James has exceeded prime. Like, it used to be 27 to the age of 34, but now LeBron James is saying, no, prime is what you put into your body. And we all know how disciplined Giannis Antetokounmpo is. Now, you know I can't leave this subject without giving Ja his flowers. Now, Ja Morant, when you talk about his ceiling for as far as his career, is Jordan-esque. And I'm going to tell you why. Because think about it. When Michael Jordan came into the league in 1984, no one expected him to pan out the way that he did. And when he came in with Bird and Isaiah Thomas and Magic Johnson, and then all of a sudden he rose to the top as the number three pick. Ja Morant, the number two pick. Every year he's getting better. Every year he's opening eyes. Every year he's shocking the world. He's doing things and he's winning in a small market like the Memphis, like in Memphis, and he's doing it at a high level. So just think about this last year. Last year we was like, Ja is really good. This year, we're talking about actually putting him in the MVP conversation. He should be an all-star starter. He should make an all-NBA team if he don't get hurt. So when I look at it, I don't want people to overreact like it's so far-fetched. The guy's only 22 years of age, and he's going to continue to get better.
Perk, you know, you start throwing out Jordan and just get ready to tell some folks to carry on and that you said what you said. I would rein it back off Jordan just a little bit and go with more of a Steph type of ceiling. And of course, Steph's career is still being written. But when I think of the certain everyman, je ne sais quoi, in that these are not guys that are towering at 6'8", big behemoths and physical beasts and imposing presences the way Giannis is, but I look at what Ja has been able to do, and I definitely think he's going to be a signature face of a generation. Like, you look at his social following, and Gen Z loves him. I love him. I'm not Gen Z. Like, he's tremendous. And so I do think that he has the unique ability to create another shift in the game. And yes, he is a product of some of what we've seen from Steph, although he doesn't shoot the ball that way. But this influx of smaller and physical stature guards that have incredible quickness, are able to elevate quickly off the ground as well in terms of that bounce. I feel you on the MJ. I'm leaning back and pulling it to a little bit of Steph right now because I think the branding is there. We love Welcome to the Dark Side, his whole campaign. But it's not far-fetched to me.
But think about this for a second, Monica. I'm just saying, think about when Jordan was drafted. Nobody thought that Jordan would be in the conversation of being the GOAT, okay? It was two other guys that were taken in front of him. Jordan had to work to get where he was, and he reached the level of greatness. So you're telling me, watching the way that Ja Morant is climbing, it's, the ceiling is unlimited. This is a guy
Perk, because we're going to run out of time, but wait, Perk, this will be my only question to you on the pushback. Jordan blocked guys straight up over the course of his era. Like, are you saying that you think Ja has the ability to be that dominant of a presence and keep guys from getting to the ultimate prize in the NBA? I just think that the league right now, there's such a dearth of talent. I don't know if he will do that.
Well, listen, let me tell you something, okay? First of all, I'm not worrying about running out of time because I sat here for 30 minutes and listened to Ryan Clark and Dominique Foxworth talk about good times, the heat of the night, and now we're talking about basketball. So we got to have our moment.
Go ahead.
So at the end of the day, is what I'm telling you is when I'm looking at Ja at 22, okay, we look at Steph. Steph is towards the end of his career, right? I ain't saying it's going to be over soon. But when you look at superstars that are in front of him, except for Giannis, I think that Ja could have a better career and overtake and block a Luka. I think he could block a Devin Booker. I think he could block a Donovan Mitchell. Like, when I'm looking at this guy right now, we already talking about, hey, did the Pelicans make a mistake and not drafting him number one? When you start to move in that direction, that means you're doing certain things. You're doing special things. So I'm going to leave it at that. But at the end of the day, Charlie, I know we got to go. But to answer your question, if I'm starting a franchise, uh-huh. I'm taking Giannis, not only over Ja, but everybody else in the NBA.
Okay. All right. Well, that says a lot about your choice then. And Monica, you chose Ja Morant for the next 10 years. Would that be the person that you would choose over everybody else if you were starting your own franchise?
Come on, man. I'm going to lean in. I think Ja is that special. And we know that in this league, yes,
you see what I'm saying?
And forwards are tremendous. But, like, that piece, come on, man. He's going to be a guy that people want to come and play with. And I agree with Perk. He's going to make Memphis so attractive.
And both of you talking about the ceiling of Ja Morant.
But, Charlie, you see what I'm saying?
What?
What you mean, Perk?
No, you see what I'm...
We agree, you just can't say it.
You see what I'm saying? No. You see what I'm saying about Monica? She just wanted to go back at me and say, you know what? Let's tone it down before comparing it to Jordan. Then all of a sudden, she come on here and say,
I'll take him
over
Monica,
anybody
you're right.
for the next
Jordan,
year.
That's shit. What are you talking about? Okay, go ahead.
Lord have mercy.
That's a pretty good point. But Monica, you know what? You still made a very valid argument. I mean, Steph Curry, Michael Jordan.
Thank you,
if the ceiling is either one of those for Ja Morant, he's looking at a very, very, very successful career.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The big game only a few days away, and as of today, Georgia is a 2.5-point favorite in the national championship game over Alabama. It's the third time since 2010 that Alabama has been an underdog. Each of the previous two times came against Georgia, and each of the previous two times, Alabama won by at least 17 points. And no better way to get ready for an all-SEC national championship game than welcoming in none other than the mouth of the South, the host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Paul, thank you so much for being here. We have a lot that we want to get into with you. So first of all, we mentioned this is a rematch of the SEC championship game where Bryce Young dominated. But there is going to be a difference this time around. He's going to be facing Georgia without John Mechie, who had 97 yards and a touchdown. So do you think that Young can have another monster game without Mechie and also against a very tough Georgia defense?
I think he can. He still has Jameson Williams, the transfer from Ohio State, who has really emerged as one of the top wide receivers in the country. But the one difference this game will have, other than Mechie, Charlie, than the last game, is Brian Robinson. He was absolutely brilliant in the semifinal game against Cincinnati. Alabama completely changed its approach because Cincinnati had a really strong secondary. He was not healthy in the SEC championship game. And while you can't make a living out of running against Georgia because of their defensive line, he could be a factor in opening things up for Bryce Young.
Okay, well, let's now focus on Georgia, because on their offensive end, questions are always swirling about the ability of Stetson Bennett. So do you trust him to be able to lead Georgia's offense, Paul?
I'm hesitant to answer that question in the affirmative. I will tell you, I talked to Booger McFarland the other day, who was really negative on Stetson Bennett. He flat out said Georgia can't win a national championship with Bennett. I think they can, but I think it will be difficult. He is good. He played brilliantly against Michigan, but that's a different story than against Alabama, who has not as good a defense as Georgia, but pretty close. I want to see something that I haven't seen out of him. And in the previous two games against Alabama, he was very pedestrian. He threw a lot of interceptions. And I think that could be the difference in this game. Meanwhile, for those who are wondering why stick with Stetson Bennett, JT Daniels, a five-star from Southern Cal, who started the first game for Georgia, has been on the bench ever since he came back from an injury. And if things don't go well for Georgia early in this game, keep your eye on JT Daniels on the sidelines.
Okay, well, Stetson Bennett obviously doesn't have all of your confidence, but Nick Saban, come on, you can't count against this guy. He's already won 7 national championships. If he wins this time around, it'll be 8. So, Paul, how many championships do you think he's going to win when it's all said and done?
I thought 3 years ago when he lost by 28 to Clemson that maybe things were starting to tighten for his future, but he has shattered that myth right now, Charlie. He won last year in a COVID year. He could win this year. He's 70 years old. Only Bobby Bowden has won a national championship at that age. If Saban wins Monday night, I think he has 2 or 3 more in him. Wow. And why not? He's got, you know, a lot of people are saying, why don't you walk away? Well, why would you walk away when you have Bryce Young coming back? He's the best player in college football. So I think the window is wide open for him to keep piling on. And, you know, he's not only the best coach in college football history, Charlie. We're beginning to think about him in the conversation for the greatest coach in any sport if he wins again Monday night.
Okay, well, stepping away from the national championships for just a second, because we know you love the SEC, and as great as Alabama and Georgia are, would you say this rematch is a good thing or a bad thing for college football as a whole? And actually, I'm sorry, I was reading ahead, so we are sticking with the national championship game for now.
Charlie, I think if I read my contract correctly, I'm not allowed to say anything other than this is the greatest game in the history of mankind.
Oh, okay,
but
there
I am
you
going
go.
To answer, but I'm going to answer your question honestly. I don't think it is good for college football. Oh. I think outside of Georgia and Alabama, which border each other, this game is kind of a yawn if you're in L.A. or in New York or Chicago, because it is not. It's a regional game. It's a game we've already seen. And the problem with college football is it needs to be broader. And until the college football playoff is expanded, it won't be.
Okay, well, that's a very hot take, Paul. Now we want to talk about someone that you are a fan of, because there has been speculation that your good pal Jim Harbaugh could entertain the opportunity of leaving college football for an NFL head coaching job. So if it were up to you, where would you rather see him go? Do you think it's better for him to go to the NFL or stay where he is?
I think you should leave. I don't think it's even a close call. Let's talk about a couple of
not
things,
even
first
a close
of all.
Call, okay.
A year ago, he got called in, and his salary was cut in half. And he proved everyone wrong, but the problem is still going to be the same for Jim Harbaugh. He's got to deal with Ryan Day in Ohio State, and while they won this year, I don't think he can make a living depending on that. He was a very good NFL coach. Let's not forget, Jim Harbaugh took the 49ers to 2 straight NFC championship games. He went to the Super Bowl losing to his brother. And I think he can do it again. I think he's a better NFL coach than he is in college. And, Jim, if you're listening, take a job. Get out of there. Whether it's the Raiders, the Bears, or someone else, I think it's time for you to go back to the NFL where you belong.
I love that. Okay, you heard the man. Go to the NFL. Okay, now, Paul, quarterback Caleb Williams also mulling his future options after his former Oklahoma coach Lincoln Riley left for USFC. So how significant is this storyline in the college football landscape?
In many ways, Charlie, this is the biggest story in college football this week. I know that sounds blasphemous considering we're hyping up the national championship game. But we are in a place we've never been before. We're out in the galaxies now and trying to comprehend this. This is a college football player who, by the way, didn't even start the season as a starter. He was the backup to Spencer Rattler, who was the Heisman favorite. He beat him out, and now he said, you know what, Lincoln Riley's gone. I'm going to put myself up for bid, in essence. And, I mean, he could end up making millions of dollars depending on where he goes. We are talking about college football here, and the president of the NCAA uses the word amateur athlete, student athlete. That's a crock. I mean, this is the new world, and we are living in it, and we're not going back to where we used to be.
Okay, well, there could be some shakeups in the college football landscape. Paul, before I let you go, are you expecting a shakeup on Monday in the national championship game? What's your prediction?
I am not going against Nick Saban. I've done it once or twice in my life, and I'm not doing it again. I think he's the better coach. I think Georgia may have the better team on paper, but I don't think a lot has changed. You mentioned Mechie. Other than that, I think it's the same two teams, and I think we'll get not a similar result in terms of a 3 or 4 touchdown win, but I think Alabama will win this game.
Okay, Paul, I think you're probably a smart man for going in that direction. Paul, thank you so very much, and be sure to check out this guy's show. It airs Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. on the SEC Network. So, Paul, thank you so very much.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
First Take returns with some breaking news out of the NFL. Our Field Yates tweeting that the Arizona Cardinals have designated defensive lineman J.J. Watt to return from injured reserve. The Cardinals have already locked up a playoff spot and currently sit fifth in the NFC playoff positioning. Now, DeAndre Hopkins, he's still on IR. He will be returning possibly should the Cardinals make a deep playoff run. But, Ryan, with this news about Watt, you think the Cardinals can still go on a run in the playoffs?
I do believe they can go on a run. We saw them generate enough offense against the Dallas Cowboys, who are also a playoff team. They already won the NFC East. And we see that, you know, with A.J. Green on the outside, Christian Kirk, obviously Chase Edmonds. You know, you hope to get James Conner back, Zach Ertz at the tight end position, more targets than any tight end in the league since coming over from the Philadelphia Eagles. This team can go on a run, but J.J. Watt is a huge piece of that. J.J. Watt was a guy that, even though the statistics didn't look like the defensive player of the year, he was huge in the run game. He was huge in freeing up people on the outside for one-on-one single rushes. And if you go back to the Detroit Lions, who beat the Arizona Cardinals, you go back to the Los Angeles Rams, who have beaten them in the last month, they've run the football. Reynolds rushed for over 100 yards for the Detroit Lions. Sony Michel gets 20 touches in the backfield against the Los Angeles Rams. And I believe that J.J. Watt will be a huge part of stopping that, as he was early on in the season. He is probably a bigger addition than even a DeAndre Hopkins will be when he comes back off of IR.
Yeah, I know that might sound ridiculous, but I agree with you. The way that this defense looked, they were one of the best top 2 or 3 defenses in football all the way up until week 7 when J.J. got hurt. From that point on, they've been one of the worst defenses by all measures in football. And to your point, if you just look at J.J.'s individual stats, you may not appreciate the impact that he had on that team. But playing interior defensive line, a lot of times you aren't going to get the stats that you need. Not everyone can be Aaron Donald and still rack up sacks, but they can still be critically important to that team. And it seems like the overall numbers suggest that J.J. Watt was that important. I'm not suggesting that all of their defensive decline was a result of J.J. Watt getting hurt, but certainly a great portion of it was. And having him back and healthy, if he can stay healthy through the course of the playoffs and rested potentially, could mean a lot for the way this defense is and the way this team performs.
Yeah, absolutely. This is huge for the team. He has been out since October 24th with a shoulder injury, so I know the Cardinals happy to have him back. Well, let's stick with the NFC West as we move on to our next topic, because Sunday could potentially be the last time we see Russell Wilson in a Seahawks uniform when he takes on the Cardinals, as we just mentioned, in Arizona. Although there was a lot of speculation this could be it for the 10-year Seattle quarterback, Wilson says he has a no-trade clause for a reason. Listen.
When it comes to no-trade clause in sports, the main reason is so teams can't trade somebody to anywhere. That's the number one reason, right? Because in sports, you know, you could wake up the next morning, you're gone somewhere else. That's the number one reason. I think the going back to your main question, though, you know, for me, you know, I think what I'm really super passionate about, obviously, you know, my goal is to win more Super Bowls. And you know, my plan is to win them here. You know, it's that simple. You know, I think that's and so that's, you know, there's nothing really else other than that.
You're remember when Russell Wilson had a wish list of places he'd like to go? I think a lot of people forgot about that, but it has sure been a rough year for the quarterback. Neek, can Russ carry a team to a Super Bowl at this point?
Well, carry is an interesting word. Like, I would say no, he can't carry a team because he's never done that before. Like, he was very good for their Super Bowl teams, but he has the ability, I guess, the talent level to carry a team. So I do think that he can lead another team. If he ends up in New Orleans, which is one of the places that I know was on that list, if he goes there, they can add Russell to that system, and Sean Payton can build his offense around Russell Wilson's unique abilities. I think absolutely with that defense and that offensive line and Alvin Kamara and maybe the ability to attract another impressive weapon on the outside to that team, absolutely they can be competitive and they could get to another Super Bowl. But it's really hard to win them and to get to them, as Russell, I'm sure, has learned, because after his early success, they haven't been anywhere close since then.
Yeah, Russ can't carry no team to the Super Bowl. Nope, not going to believe it, not going to say it. He is not elite, and we just have to accept it. Now, we've been trying to push Russ into that tier, though, right? We've been saying, let Russ cook. And early last year, they were letting Russ cook, and Russ was in the MVP category. And then Russ cooked, and eventually it went from, like, hibachi to microwaving ramen noodles. And I've been in both places, and trust me, hibachi is better than when you microwave noodles. But that's what kind of has happened to this team. When they won Super Bowls, it was about Marshawn Lynch and the Legion of Boom. Actually, they forgot in one of those Super Bowls that it was about Marshawn Lynch, and that is the reason that they lost. And so now when we watch who Russell Wilson has become as a leader there, right, as the quarterback who's supposed to be carrying this team, it's actually kind of made the Seattle Seahawks go into the dumps. Is Russell Wilson good enough to quarterback a team to a Super Bowl ring? Absolutely, because he's better now in his career than he was early on in his career. But he has to be in a place where everything else works with his unique skill set, with his unique talents. And if he can get into the right place, I do agree with Dom on that. In the right place, surrounded by the right people, with the right coaches, with the right leaders, Russell Wilson is good enough to win a Super Bowl. He's not a guy to carry you to a Super Bowl. He is not on the Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady tier to me. And even if I'm speaking candidly, I take guys like Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow over where I take Russell Wilson right now at this stage in his career.
Ryan, you know, you talk about he needs to be in the place with the right pieces, the right leaders, the right coaches. For a long time, this seemed to be the perfect situation for Russell. I mean, the Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson dynamic was cooking for such a long time. What do you think happened?
You know what? I don't really know what happened. You know, this is a team that has always been about brotherhood, a team that's always been about chemistry, camaraderie. And then in the offseason, you hear Russell Wilson expressing his displeasure with how he's treated there, with the way that they value his word or they value his opinion. And then he comes out with a wish list. Listen, I don't know how many relationships you've all been in, but if I'm sitting down with my wife or my significant other, or if Charlie or if Dom is doing the same thing, and they say, you know what? Listen, I ain't really talking about leaving you right now. I don't want to leave today. But if this thing goes south, hit the five chicks I could be with other than you. You gonna probably
stop
have a problem
that
with
right
that.
Now.
Yeah, that's gonna be
have a problem.
Problem
with that. Like, I ain't putting out lists if I ain't trying to go nowhere.
The interesting thing about Russ is if you talk to those players who are on those early teams, they thought that the organization was catering to Russ too much. And they thought that Russ was like being treated special despite the fact that he was not the key to that team's success. It's just interesting to see that it's developed into a place where now Russ feels like he is not being treated as well as he should be treated. But I did want to get back to the idea of carrying. Like you said, you're not putting him on the tier with those three names you mentioned. And I wouldn't put him on that tier either. But none of those guys are like carrying their team to the Super Bowl. No one would argue that last year Tom Brady carried the Bucs to the Super Bowl. No one who watched the games would argue that. Patrick Mahomes,
I guess maybe
you could say Patrick Mahomes though, that year that they had those comebacks. They won that Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes did that. But that team is not without talent. And Aaron Rodgers, the same reason. I mean, the same team, that team or the same – They're similar in my view to like the Bucks. That team is well built for Aaron Rodgers. So I think that Russell in a similar situation could work out. But I'm not sure. like Russell, I think a lot of people who are Russell defenders would say that the offenses have not been progressive or innovative that he's been inserted to, but he also is a bit of a freelancer, and that's when some of his best stuff comes up. So it'd be interesting to have him down in a Sean Payton system where the best we've seen Sean Payton system work was with Drew Brees, who by no stretch of the imagination was that guy. He was third step, it's out.
Right.
And he's getting it right on target to the right spot every time. So I'd like to see Russell to see if he could operate in that system, and maybe not all the reason for his struggles is not because of the lack of offensive line or the lack of creativity in their play calling.
Okay, well, this is the first season with Russell at the helm that the Seahawks are losing, or finishing rather, with a losing season.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
It is time for quick takes. Lots of teams trying to lock in their playoff spots. So, Dominic, easiest way to playoffs is win and in for the Chargers or the Raiders. So, you tell me who makes it.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the Chargers. They've had some ups and downs this season. Their defense has been underachieving, frankly. But I think they're by far the more talented team. They also have not been dealing with the myriad issues that the Raiders organization has so far. I think what the Raiders have done up until this point is a credit to them and a testament to their strength as a team. But I think the Chargers are better and the talent's going to prevail.
Okay. This one's for you, Ryan. The Colts need a win versus the Jags, but their last win in Jacksonville was in 2014. So, RC, be careful when you answer this. But any concern Wentz will not get the job done?
Nah, no concern at all. Listen, I've been skeptical of Carson Wentz in many situations. This is not one of them. The Jacksonville Jaguars are absolutely awful. And I don't say that very often about NFL teams, but they are like hot trash. And so if the Colts lose to them, I'm actually going to stop working. I will not come to work on Monday morning if the Colts lose to the Jaguars.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you won't be hearing from me on Monday either. Okay, Dominic, the 49ers need to win versus the Rams or a Saints loss to the Falcons. So does San Fran get in?
Oh, I like that strategy. So either I'm right or I get a day off. I like that. So 49ers, I guarantee you the 49ers win or I ain't coming to work on Monday. Like, that's for sure. No, I think the 49ers get the job done against the Rams. They have a ton of success. Shanahan versus McVay, the odds are tilted strongly in Shanahan's favor, and they really need this game. I got them pulling it up.
All right, I like it. Now to more on the 49ers-Rams game. Cooper Kupp looking to become the fourth player to lead the NFL in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns in a single season since the 1970 NFL-AFL merger. The other to win the receiving triple crown, Steve Smith, Sterling Sharp, and Jerry Rice. And here's Kupp on possibly taking that crown.
It would be a pretty incredible thing. There's a lot of really good football players in this league, so a lot of really good receivers that I've got a ton of respect for. So it'd be very cool. I mean, the most important thing is that we win the game and lock down the division title, and be ready to move into the playoffs.
And stay focused on the game. The records will come. RC, is Kupp the best wide receiver in the NFL?
Nope. I'll probably need to expound on that, huh? Listen, and this is in no way anything negative about Cooper Kupp. I think Cooper Kupp is one of the top three wide receivers in this league, and what he's done this year is nowhere near something that we should just shake a stick at. It is absolutely phenomenal who Cooper Kupp has been. But I think Devontae Adams is the best wide receiver in the league. I think when Wink Martindale decides that he'll do something to Devontae Adams that he won't do to Jamar Chase says a lot. Jamar Chase is a guy who broke the rookie receiving record. Jamar Chase is a guy who scored 13 touchdowns, who in one-on-one coverage, he has one route, and that's a go ball, and he seems to constantly win. Devontae Adams was treated even differently than him. Devontae Adams had people line up on him the same way we had people lining up on Calvin Johnson. Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers have actual telepathy, right? When Aaron Rodgers throws the ball to Devontae Adams, he doesn't put his hands up until the ball actually falls into his hands. Dudes are running, covering Devontae Adams like this, and the ball is caught, and they're still running like this because Devontae Adams only raised his hands right here. He is absolutely phenomenal, one of the best route runners this game has ever seen. He has a huge catch radius. He's a tall football player. He's also great in yards after the catch. I think Devontae Adams is a surefire Hall of Famer. Aaron Rodgers himself, who played with Brett Favre, who played with Charles Woodson, said Devontae Adams was the best player he'd ever played with. It may be a little biased there, but I'm starting to kind of believe it.
Well, I mean, you said it right there when you brought up Aaron Rodgers. So, like, Devontae Adams is great. I agree with everything that you just said about how special he is. And, yes, they were stacking guys over there like he was a gunner on punt team. It was outrageous the way that right. they were trying to guard that man. It does not, and he was still somehow making it happen. But to have Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I think that a lot of receivers who put up numbers, big numbers, would put up bigger numbers if they had Aaron Rodgers. So I think, to be honest with you, Cooper Kupp suffered from a little bit of bias. I think Cooper Kupp.
What would that bias be? What would that
Cooper
bias be?
Is
so if you put Cooper Kupp with Aaron Rodgers, would he be the best receiver?
It's his paint job.
If Cooper Kupp is not descendant of slaves, so people look at Cooper Kupp and they think that his routes ain't sweet. But if you watch that Cooper play, his routes are sweet. He is getting open. He is special, and he is doing it with Matthew Stafford. And he did it with Jared Goff. So Matthew Stafford is not a bad quarterback, but he ain't no damn Aaron Rodgers. It's a whole different scenario. So if we're talking about, like, who we're drafting or something, maybe we have a different conversation. But it's hard for me to look at them numbers this season and say that man ain't the best player or the best receiver in football.
You know what's crazy? When you look at the film and you look at the stats, you do have to go Cooper Kupp. And I work with Dan Orlovsky way too much now. And the Matthew Stafford bias is absolutely unbelievable.
Oh, yes.
But he did make one great point. Two of the greatest football seasons to ever be accomplished by wide receivers are going to be with Matthew Stafford as the quarterback. That was Calvin Johnson when I think he went for 1960-plus. Yeah. Right, in 1 year, which is the record, and it's going to be Cooper Kupp who may break that record, albeit in 17 games, not 16. And so Matthew Stafford can at least do that.
Well, we're going to see if he breaks that record. Everyone, thanks so much for being here with us. Guys, thank you. We'll see you later. Enjoy the weekend.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.